Tango Tango Papa 2057, August 26, 2020.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Moni, Illinois. Moni is somewhat south of the Chicago area, or on the south side of the Chicago area. It's been about a month since the last podcast. I can't remember if I recorded the podcast before I went home, or I think it might have been before I went home. I was home for a few days and then came back to work, and I'm about due home again. I'm supposed to be home, I think, by Sunday. So right now I'm going to pick a load up tomorrow at, I don't remember the name of the, it's another one of the suburbs here in Chicago, the western, kind of one of the southwestern suburbs, western suburbs, and then that load goes to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, so, should be home maybe by about Sunday, and then have the usual things I do while I'm home, with the exception this time I will, I'm actually supposed to have a dental cleaning appointment. They haven't called and canceled it, so I alternate actually between two dentists every 3 months, and 3 months ago they canceled, you know, they actually canceled the appointment, or it may have been something, I guess it was about 3 months ago. They canceled the appointment because of the virus situation and what have you, and so. But I think in this case I'll be going back to the first dentist, and they haven't canceled it, so I'll show up. So when I was home the last time, I was able to, I think I talked about it before, I was wanting to get guttering installed on my house for the first time, and I was having a little bit of difficulty getting gutter contractors to respond, and finally I got about three of them finally responded, three maybe four of them. But one of them actually, well, actually two of them actually came out and gave me an estimate. And I ended up kind of picking a more expensive one, but they were able to do it, do the job just a few days after I came back to work. So that's one of the reasons I picked them, and I liked the product that they were selling better. It was a Leaf filter. It's a national gutter company, and I was kind of impressed with their product and the way it's constructed and what have you. And so that's the one I ended up picking. And then there was this other a local gutter company. They would have been able to do a job, you know, without, you know, they wouldn't have the Leaf filter product or construction techniques. They would have been able to do it in maybe about a month, and then there's the other guy, I never did, or I talked to him, and then he called me back to a few days later to see if I had found somebody, and I told him, yeah, I have, and so I didn't really bother him to do an estimate because I'd already found somebody to do it. So they did the job, the week, about a week after I came back to work, they did the job. I had gone ahead and given them a check to pay for it prior to coming back to work, and of course they didn't deposit the check until, well, it was like a week later after they actually did the job. So for whatever reason, I guess, I don't know, the salesman, the guy that came out and did the estimate, I think he was just, I don't know, he said he forgot to deposit it or whatever, but they finally deposited it, and it came out of the account like, I don't know, a couple of days ago. So, but in any case, they sent me pictures of the completed job, and I'm very happy, at least with the pictures, it looks pretty good. So, the other thing that I did while I was home, I bought a gun. Because I've talked about this before. I've never really had anything against guns, but I never really did feel, never really felt the motivation to have a gun. And of course, the traditional reason, you know, prior to the things that have happened lately, the traditional reasoning, that you had the people that bought, that were into guns, and a lot of people, they do the hunting thing and all that, and that's one of, I've just never been interested in hunting. Don't have anything against it again, but I just, I've never had any interest in it, and that has kind of always been, at least in my mind, been presented as the kind of the primary reason why you would sort of be into guns or be excited by them or engage in it as a hobby. You know, and I never really did think about, because people would say, well, you want to have a gun to protect yourself from the government. Well, as it turns out, what finally motivated me and is motivating literally millions of other people each month, because the gun sales have shot up astronomically in the past few months, and 40% of the gun sales that have occurred over the past two or three months have been brand new first time gun purchasers, which includes me. And the real reason why I want a gun is maybe to protect, if I have to, protect myself from some of the fellow citizens. You see these riots, the media keeps calling them peaceful protests. They're riots. They're burning down cities. It's absolutely outrageous. Democrats want to defund the police. It's insane. So ultimately, I am, and each person, I am responsible for my own safety. I am responsible for my own protection. And I think as I talked in the last podcast, it is important. You have the line in the Bible that's kind of poorly translated, the meek shall inherit the earth. They use the word meek. There really isn't a good word, or at least a single word that I know of in English that, you have the Greek word praus, P-R-A-U-S. And it means something along the lines of, peace through strength, or having a sword and knowing how to use it, but keeping it sheathed, or kind of being dangerous, because in order to really be virtuous doesn't mean weak. something that's a week is like a rabbit. A rabbit, I guess if you corner it, you know, it'll snap at you or whatever, but rabbits are pretty docile. Rabbit, you know, in this case, a rabbit is not an example of a, you know, if you want to use it as an analogy, that's not really virtue. That's just weakness. In order to be virtuous, you've actually got to be a bit of a monster and then keep the monster tame. You got to be a bit of a monster, but yet be a kind of a civilized monster. You have to, in other words, you need to own a gun, have a gun, be proficient with it without the intent of using it, unless you absolutely have to. So that's kind of what gave me the motivation. So I was able to buy a gun. Unfortunately, the gun store was out of ammunition, so there was no ammunition for sale. So the gun I ended up buying, it was manufactured in Turkey. It's TISAS, TISAS, is how I've heard it pronounced. And it's a replica of it's a 1911 model gun. It was actually, it's like a U.S. Army type of gun that was actually originally designed and manufactured and used in 1911. And it's, you know, there's been a few variants of it ever since. And so this is, it's kind of a classic design. Still in use today. And there's various gun manufacturers that, manufacture this, with some slight variations, manufacture this model of the gun, the 1911 handgun. And so, but since I came back to work, I was able to buy some ammunition online. Should have probably bought more, but I bought three boxes of 50 shells each. And then my youngest brother was telling me that he had some of the ammunition. It's 45 ACP is the ammunition. So, I intend when I go home this next time, perhaps to get together with my youngest brother and sort of learn really how to use the handgun. I've watched a bunch of YouTube videos. There's, more videos than you can shake a stick at because this is a kind of a popular gun model. It's been around since 1911, the design has. And so that it's there's all kinds of YouTube videos about it, how to use it, clean it, etc., etc. So I'm looking forward to that, learning how to use it, becoming proficient with it, and doing some target practicing. Of course, as the ammunition becomes more available, which will probably happen after the election, somewhat after the election, the ammunition will probably become more available. Then I can really kind of get into the, kind of the target practice on a more, kind of a regular basis if I wish to, which I do. Because I do think it would kind of, I've watched the videos of people doing target practicing. And it looks like I don't know if I would just be totally obsessed with it, but it looks like it would be kind of a nice hobby to engage in occasionally. So, the reason to own it, see, I've thought about having a gun in the past and becoming proficient with it over the years, and I just never did do it because, again, never really the idea that I would need to possibly protect myself against rioting Americans. America being infiltrated from the inside. as it has been, that thought really never crossed my mind. But, I mean, all you have to do now is just watch the videos of the riots and people, you know, protecting their neighborhoods, etc., their businesses being burned down, liberal politicians are telling the police to stand down, which is utterly ridiculous. And so that is the reason to own a gun. Just in case you have to, and this is a real threat. It's not some idle thing or pie in the sky. It could happen. It is happening. Now, do I expect my neighborhood to be threatened directly? Probably not. I live in a rural area. And probably, I don't know, but I'm guessing most of my neighbors already have guns. Yeah, so, the general rule, it's a rule of thumb, is that the bad neighborhood usually kind of stays put. The bad neighborhood, as a rule, does not come to you. But in any case, I think it's time for, me to, not only have a gun, but become proficient with it and have it available in case I need it. But at the very least, be proficient with target practice. And be proficient with, know how to take the thing apart and clean it and put it back together again, etc. I think, I think everyone should do that. I think everyone, every American, should own a gun. Yeah, for the very same reason. You may need it to defend yourself. But beyond that, you need, it goes back to the idea of the lion in the Bible. And again, the word meek is a poor translation into English. A better phrase is the strong, or and that's really not that really doesn't get the concept across. What that word means. The Greek word praus, praus, means, is the meaning behind it is to, kind of be able, have a weapon, know how to use it, but, if it's a sword, you keep it sheathed, but it's there. Or if it's a gun, you keep it in the holster, but it's available, and you understand how to use it. And you know how to use it, etc. You're proficient with it. Psychologically, socially, spiritually, mentally, etc., that is a game changer. Those are the people that will inherit the earth. People that are really strong yet civilized. Don't mess with people like that. You don't want to mess with people like that. So that's the reason to do it. Even if, and I never anticipate, I absolutely do not anticipate I'll ever have to use it to defend myself. However, I think it's really important. At this point, it's absolutely imperative that I learn how to use that and become proficient with it. And I think if you're one of those people that has been like me, you know, here I am, 65 years old. I've shot guns in the past, you know, like my dad's guns, a few times over the years. Never really had anything against guns. Never really had, you know, felt one way or the other about it. Just, you know, didn't have one because I didn't feel that I had a need for it. Finally realized, yeah, I do have a need for it. Even if I don't, you know, even if it's just learn how to use it and target practice. That's a good enough reason right there. Psychologically, spiritually, it's important to be able to kind of have that proficiency and know how to defend myself if should the need arise. Even though I never expect the need will ever arise. So the gun that I bought, you know, I explained, I went into the gun store, you know, and I felt a little weird because I, you know, here I am, you know, kind of a total novice when it comes to guns. And I went in the gun store and, the place was fairly busy actually, as you might imagine. And, so I, you know, finally one of the salesmen became available, and after I'd been there for several minutes, he finished with another customer, and then he came over to me, and I explained to him, you know, hey, I'm 65 years old. I've never owned a gun. I'm interested in it now for obvious reasons. Remember, the gun sales have skyrocketed. And so he suggested, you know, I asked him for his suggestions. What should I buy? And so he suggested the gun that I ended up purchasing. The TISAS, TISAS 1911. You know, and it was a fairly quick process. They had me fill out this form. It's a government form. You fill the form out, you know, basically, honestly, as you know, and just you have to, you know, read it carefully, fill it out, because it is actually a legal document. Once you fill it out and sign it, it is a legal document. And so filled that out. That took just a few minutes for me to fill that out while I was standing there. Then he took that in the back, and I think they have some sort of an instant check with some, I don't know, it's like a government agency or whatever, to find out if they can determine if they can sell it on the spot, or you may have to wait, you know, there's like maybe a three-day wait, up to a three-day waiting period. But in my case, I think what they're looking for is like, you know, legal, like if people have had felonies or what, or, you know, or problems in their, you know, like certain types of legal problems in their background, which I have nothing as far as, you know, any kind of criminal, you know, just zero criminal record, of course. So he was gone for just probably about 5 to 10 minutes, and then he came back and completed the purchase. And, you know, of course, they didn't have no ammunition available, but I went ahead and bought the gun anyway. It was like, it was $499, and then plus tax. And well, actually, it was less than that. It was like $450, and then $449, and then plus tax. It was right around, I believe it was kind of like right around $500, or it may have been, I don't know. I'm going to have to look. I should know that. So I'm going to actually sort of log into my bank account here right on the spot and see if I can find the transaction. Let's see. Tap on that and then search. Ozark. Ozark Armory. $450. Okay, so with tax, it was even with the tax, it was $456.47. And I was willing. You know, I was. You know, the range I was looking to spend was between maybe $400 to $500. So. You know, so it was just a little, you know, 456 or whatever, which fine with that, absolutely fine with that. So that was right in the price range that I was looking for. And so, but again, you know, if you've been like me and you've kind of been on the fence, or you just, you know, thought, well, why, you know, I'm, because see, my reasoning prior to this was, well, I don't really expect that I'm going to have to ever defend myself. Don't really expect I have to do that. And I still don't, to be, as I say, I'm, to be perfectly honest, I do not ever expect to put my, you know, to be in a position where I have to defend myself with a gun. I just don't expect that to happen. I don't, first of all, I don't put myself into situations like that. I, you know, have always been able to pretty much avoid dramatic situations or be around, you know, that kind of, I'm just not a drama person. So I never, I just do not expect. But my reasoning was, I don't expect that I'll ever need to have a gun. Why not just save the money? What's the point of doing target practice? You know, you have the gun, you got to buy ammunition, maybe go to a gun range, do target practice, continue to do target practice to kind of, you know, to keep your aim good, because that's what they all say, is that you need to periodically do target practice in order to keep your targeting skills up to a, you know, proficient level. And, you know, why go through that expense if you really don't expect you're ever going to have to use it? But my thinking has changed. As I said, now I understand why. Thanks to the things that have been happening with the riots. And again, I don't expect that I'll have to use it. But I do believe at this point that it's even if with that, the way my thinking is now, even in absence of riots, it's important from a site, not only, you know, a psychological standpoint. It's important for a spiritual, from a spiritual standpoint. I really believe that it's really important from a spiritual standpoint that you kind of you know, in this case, you know, have some sort of a weapon, know how to use it, with the intent of never using it. Unless you have to. So that is the reason right there to have, you know, if you're an American and you know, you're a law-abiding American citizen, absolutely you should get a gun. And you should learn to use it, and you should at least be minimally proficient, keep yourself proficient as far as target practice. Now, beyond that, I think that I'll, having watched a lot of videos about the about it and the target practicing and what have you, I don't expect myself to really become super passionate about it. But at the same time, it does look like a, you know, kind of a thing to do once in a while that's sort of, that could be fun. Yeah, kind of a fun activity to engage in. You know, kind of, you know, and that's where I, you know, I like to do things in slices. You know, slice of this, slice of that, slice, you know, slice of my friends every time I go home. Get a slice of several different friends and relatives. So I think this would be a nice thing to do, a fun thing to do, an important thing to do once in a while. So that was the second thing, you know, and those were the two things that I've really wanted to talk about that I kind of engaged in while I was home last time. And, you know, again, you know, when I go home in a few days, I'm hoping to kind of be able to get together with my youngest brother and shoot the gun. I've never shot it. You know, I just, when I bought it at the gun store, you know, they put it in a shopping bag, and I, you know, paid for it, and he put it in the shopping bag, and oh, I bought like a hearing protection, and I probably also should have bought some eye protection. I need to do that. I wasn't thinking of that at the time. Thought of that after I watched a bunch of the YouTube videos about shooting. But so in any event, they put it in the shopping bag, and then I took it out and put it in the trunk of my car and went home. So, but so anyway, you know, again, if you, I don't want to belabor the point. Actually, I do want to belabor the point. If you've never owned a gun, if you've listened, you know, you're listening to me and you've never owned a gun, you know, take advantage of the fact that if, you know, especially if you're an American citizen, and, you know, take advantage, you know, get a gun and learn how to use it. Not to, with the idea that you're never, ever, ever going to have to defend yourself with it. But learn how to use it just for the, you know, the psychological and the spiritual benefit, because there is a spiritual benefit to it. I see that now. I did not see it before. So I've made myself a few notes kind of over the past month. And, you know, of course I kind of continue to not watch the news or read too many news articles. And the note I made for myself here, you know, I kind of realized the reason watching news media is so negative is because the people producing it don't just hate Trump. They hate you and wish to destroy you. Now let that sink in. It's not that they hate Trump. They hate, the reason they hate Trump is because they hate what, you know, the people that voted for Trump. The people that Trump represents. And, you know, everything's negative. Everything is just ridiculously negative. You know, if the media, the stuff in the media is just, and even the a lot of the, you know, the movies and, you know, and there's reasons for that. One of the reasons, you know, negative things are probably stick out in, you know, for fallen human beings. You know, because we're fallen human beings. We've all, you know, fall short of the glory of God, according to the Bible, and I really do believe it's true. We're flawed. And as flawed human beings with flawed egos, negative stuff, negative gossip, negative news stands out to us. It kind of sticks out to our negative, flawed egos. It sort of sticks out to us about probably an order of magnitude above what positive news does, or, you know, something positive. The negative sticks out. And I believe that's primarily because we are, you know, kind of fallen human beings, and we just have that tendency. Unredeemed human beings, we have that tendency to go for the negative. The negative is more dramatic. That's one of the reasons why people slam on the brakes when they're, you know, they see an accident, and they slam on the brakes, and they do the rubberneck thing. They think they're going to see some blood or some kind of drama. Maybe see a body or something. See the smashed vehicles. So, you know, they're not rubbernecking when they're, you know, when there's no accident. And the traffic's just going up and down the road. That's, you know, that's the good news. That's the sort of the equivalent in this, you know, in this scenario. That's sort of the equivalent of good news, is that all the traffic is fine. You know, the only time they're going to slow down and slam on the brakes and rubberneck is if there's some kind of problem. And again, you know, that the people that are producing, a lot of the people that are producing media, especially the commercial media and movies, TV shows, movies, new, you know, professional news organizations, it's always about the things that are going wrong, or they, you know, and then of course they create headlines that, and if they, you know, they even make things up that aren't true, make it as negative as possible. So that, you know, people will click on it, and then the ads display. They get paid, and they know it. And so then they create, just make it as negative as they possibly can, so that you'll click on that thing, and so those ads, even if you don't, you're on that for two or three seconds, the ads have displayed, and that counts as an ad click. So I've shut all that stuff off. Now there are, if you look on YouTube, if you know, there are plenty of things that you can find that are actually positive on YouTube. One of the things that I've been watching, you know, that I found a couple of days ago, in Israel, there is, I guess I could find, look on the, let me bring that up on the phone. You know, about the Israel itself, you know, the Temple Mount, and there's these wonderful excavations that are going on in Israel. And so it's really quite amazing. You know, I watched this one video, and it was just unbelievable. That, you know, of what they've unearthed, and it really, what they've unearthed is, you know, a lot of this stuff was described directly in the Bible, and they're actually finding these places. Let me see if I can find what I do. Well, I'm going to have to go go back through my I've subscribed to so many different things on YouTube that it's not even funny. So it becomes impossible for me to go through my list of subscriptions. Let's see. That's not what I'm looking for. Okay, here we go. Maybe I can go back through this. I listen to a lot, as I've said before, I listen to a lot of YouTube videos. And so I go through a lot of them. In a day's time while I'm driving, I listen to a lot of YouTube videos. So here, let's see. Okay, one of the channels that's really good is called City of David. And that's there is actually a city, the City of David, and that's actually an organization in Israel, and it's, it has to do with the City of David, and they're actually they found the City of David where it was, I don't know, quite a few years ago. But they've been excavating things since then, and they found David's palace. And there's another thing here called the Temple Mount Report. That's so there's just an amazing amount of stuff, and so that's all really positive because they're talking about the things that they found, and it's just absolutely eye-opening. Because for a long time people have said, well, they just have tried to pretend like Israel, didn't really have a history and blah, 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 blah. Well, here it is. Here's the physical evidence. And at some point, once they do all, once the tourism starts back up, a lot of the stuff that they've already excavated are tourist attractions. And eventually, you're going to be able to, kind of walk from David's palace all the way up to the Temple Mount. And in the ancient world, that was actually like a walkway for, kind of a pilgrim's walk. Really remarkable. And it's right there. They've unearthed the physical, they've unearthed all this just in the past, probably 10 to 15 years, because prior to that, some of it was just covered up with a parking lot, with a large parking lot. So that's something really positive to, different church services. That's another thing that's really positive. So there's plenty of positive stuff to kind of dig into. And it's really amazing. You cut out all the negative stuff and and it's just a barrage. It's a psychological barrage of negative stuff. If you cut that out, at least in my case, it makes it possible, because I seem to be kind of a naturally optimistic person. And but at the very least, cutting all that stuff out, really am, feel positive. Glad that I exist. My real world experience with my fellow human beings, with my fellow American citizens, is really quite positive. The intent, they really, it's deliberate. There is an intent to get you as depressed as they possibly can, to tear, you know, to ruin any happiness or any sense of, or, you know, and I don't like the word happiness, but peace, any sense of peace that you have, they want to destroy. And that really is their intent. To wear you down, to beat you down. That really is their intent. So, you know, shut it all off. And, even as I've said many times before, you know, I know what's going on, even without, it's really remarkable, you know, even without all these news stories and what have you, all the negative stuff, I still know exactly what's going on. But yet I'm able to remain very positive. And another thing, you know, the Republican convention has been going on for the past, I think tonight may be the final night. And I just hadn't had a chance to, you know, I've watched, you know, little video clips here and there, listened to them. So this evening, I watched part of the, you know, because the first night, is all of the nights so far are available. So, so that's all available, and I hadn't watched any of it or listened to any of it. So I started this evening. I've gotten about 2/3 of the way through the first night, you know, for the entire stream of the 2020 RNC. And I have to say, that is amazing. Really positive, uplifting, patriotic, really enjoyable. That is not really the typical, you know, this is a really different kind of convention. Of course, the Democrat one was different too, which I didn't pay a bit of attention to it at all because it was all negative and the difference couldn't be more stark. So, but this is really uplifting. If you haven't watched it, go onto YouTube, find it. And it's, you know, the Fox version is really worth watching or just listening to. Because it's really positive, upbeat, really good stuff. So I'll eventually get, you know, over the next few days, I'll hopefully kind of get through all of it. So let's see if I've made any other notes here. That is about it. Excuse me. No. Yeah. I made myself a note here. Spoiled people are vulnerable to mass hysteria. Now, why did I say that? Spoiled people are vulnerable to mass hysteria. Then there's reasons for that. And so who are the people that are really kind of the victims of mass hysteria? Who are the people that are participating in mobs? And these mobs that are, you know, kind of running rampant? Are they people that work for a living? No. Are they people that build things? No. Are they people that help, you know, kind of keep the country going? No. Are they people that have strong nuclear families? No. What are they? They're spoiled. Probably unemployed, unemployable. Probably, living in their parents' basement, angry. Brainwashed, spoiled. Spoiling, and I don't have any kids. I love to disarm myself and say, hey, I don't have any kids, never have, never will. But I still have an opinion. Still got an opinion about it. If if you're a parent, your job is to, if you spoil your kids, you really don't love them. And when I say love, love isn't just kissy, kissy, huggy, huggy. If you really love your kids, your job as a parent is to make them self-supporting. Your job as a parent is to teach them how to work. And find the self-esteem that comes from, so-called self-esteem that comes from work. You want them to develop their own relationship with their own conscience and be able to function in the world. Be able to have an accurate map of the world that they inhabit, so that they can successfully negotiate their existence. When you spoil your kids, you're locking them into a prison. A prison of unreality. A world that only exists in fantasy. Never allowing them to mature. If you spoil your kids, you really don't love them. Sorry. And that makes them, they're angry, typically. And angry people have no identity of their own. Angry people are suggestible. I've been saying this for years. You can go back through all the years of this podcast, I've been saying the same thing. And I've had people argue with me and try to tell me, well, you can turn negative into a positive. You can't. Can't do it. If you're you got rage, boiling with rage, resentment. If you got buried resentments, these Antifa types are proud of their resentment. Black Lives Matter, they're proud of their resentment. A lot of them are spoiled white kids. Proud of their resentment, proud of their rage. They end up seeing the world backwards. Right, right looks wrong, wrong looks right. They want to tear everything down. But even if you got buried, resentment, where I don't hate anybody, I hear people say. Be careful. You're probably there's about a 99.9999999% chance that you're lying to yourself. some other person, place, or thing owns you. There's not an original idea in your head. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. See if I can't get it uploaded. So, anyway, hope everyone is having a great week. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.